Praise God. All right. I thought it was going to be spring for a while, but it looked like we jumped right into summer. Now we're into spring. How are the seasons are going? So I don't know what you did this week, but for a couple hours, I had a good opportunity of going fishing with my son. So I took Michael up and we went to the Roundout Reservoir and we caught absolutely nothing. But you know what? It was just nice to be with him. This morning, as he was playing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I just wept. I thought about the faithfulness of my Father God, the love that my Father God has for me, and the love he has for you. And the greatest thing that I think a father wants from their child is fellowship. To be able to be with them. And just touched by that this day. My father's favorite song was that song. Touched my heart. Praise God. All right. Talk among yourselves while I get composed here. So I'm a bit of an emotional person at times, and that's just the way I'm wired, and I thank God for that. But it touches me when you can spend time with your children. How many people out there try to bribe their children to come over for dinner on the Sunday afternoon? I know Joyce Stolteri does that. She cooks real good so that Matt and all the kids will come over to the house. Well, Lillian does the same thing so that we can get the kids over there, because we really don't want anything from our kids other than peace and quiet and to be with them, to have a time that we can fellowship with them. And you know, that's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of God. He wants to be with you. He wants to fellowship with you. There's nothing more precious in the life of a Christian than to have the presence of God in their life. Amen? And there's nothing more precious in God's heart is to have fellowship with those that he loved. So much so that Christ came and gave his life to establish and affirm and make an opportunity for that fellowship. And I am reading from the book of Exodus this day, and it really speaks to me of the heart of God. And although it may bring it in a dramatic way, and at first glance you might think that God is being angry and vengeful and out to destroy, but it's the heart of God that loves his creation so much. And so I'm reading from, and I'm going to read a lot of verses here, so hang on while I read this. I've got 23 verses I'm going to read from Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, now listen, this is after God has worked phenomenal miracles in bringing the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And he has brought them on through across the Red Sea. He's parted the Red Sea. He's done 10 miracles to bring them out of Egypt. And now, all along the pathway, he's doing miracle after miracle of sustaining them with food and manna, with water, with so many blessings. How many people out there have been blessed by God Almighty? And I just want you to reflect on that the Father God loves you, and he is constantly providing you, and he's not out to destroy you. He is out to establish you and to show his love to you. And that's what God has done with the Israelites all along, fulfilling the covenant he has made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's bringing Israel finally into the promised land. And after all the miracles that God has done, Moses has just returned from the mountain, and God had given him the Ten Commandments and had communed with him for 40 days. And he walks down off the mount, and here Aaron has built a golden calf, and the people are down there worshiping this golden calf as the one that has brought them out of Egypt. After God has poured out his heart to them and sustain them and bless them. Now they turn, it just seems, in a moment's time and begin to worship other gods. And that's got to break the heart of any father when their children turn away from the truths that they have sought to establish in their lives. And this is God the Father has sought to establish truths in their lives. And not only is God a father, but he is the righteous God. He is holy, and there's nothing that is defiled in the Father God. He is perfect in all of his ways, and because of his perfection, he must have those that are with him to live a holy life. And because if they don't live in a life of holiness, the mere presence of God will consume them because of his love and his power and his holiness. It will literally consume them. And he speaks about that as we enter into chapter 33. Again, it's the loving God. It's the compassionate God. It's the all-powerful God that we're speaking of here this day. I titled, as I read this chapter, A Disappointed God. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and I will go up in the midst of thee. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. I'm going to continue to read, but think about this. God had promised Moses that he was going to go with him himself. His presence would be with him. Now he's said, no, I'm going to send an angel before thee. My presence will not be with you because my holiness, I love you so much that if I stayed in your midst and the people continue to sin, they would be consumed. It's the same reason that Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. And he said, because if they eat of the tree of life, they will live forever in a corrupt body and they will never be able to be restored. So they were driven from the Garden of Eden. And now he has merely almost the same thing here. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, You are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, and I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. That means outside the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man at his own tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I have found grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, again, I'm assuming that this is not the presence that he originally promised, but a mere angel that he was going to send. I don't want to say a mere angel, but an angel that he was going to send, and his presence would abide there. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people. from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim thy name before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the word that your heart cries out for fellowship with us. Lord God, we thank you for the truth that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for your love, and our heart's desire is to know you, Lord, and to know your ways, Lord God, and to see you as you are, God. We give you glory this day, and we praise you. Moses didn't want an angel. Moses didn't want to go with an angel to the promised land. He counted the presence of God, the fellowship with the Father, the most important thing in his life. He refused to move without God. He interceded for the presence of God in his life and in the life of the people. God wants your fellowship. He wants you to be with him. He wants to pour his love upon you. That is the heart of the Father toward you, toward me. Some are willing to settle for the things that God gives. They pray intently, God, supply my need. God, do this. God, touch me here. God, give us this. God, make this. But God wants your heart. And he wants you to want his heart. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. That is why Christ came to restore that fellowship that had been lost. To walk in the garden together in the cool of the evening. To call him Father, and he calls you son. He calls you daughter, the heart of God. Some are willing to settle for things. Some are not willing to settle for anything but the presence and the love of God Almighty. And I believe that many in this congregation have that heart. They want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, to know him in that personal relationship that no one could ever come against, and no thing formed could ever disturb the beauty of that relationship. Don't settle for less than God's best for you. Don't give in to asking for things before you have God Almighty in your heart, God Almighty present in your life on a daily basis. Consider the presence of God in the life of a person. Consider how empty a life could be without the presence of God. Pursue the presence of God above all else, his presence in your life. Refuse to move without God. Refuse to move or go anywhere unless God goes with you. If you will not go with me, God, I will not go out. If you will not face the day with me, I will not face it. We need God above all things. It wasn't just a whim on the part of Moses to say, if you'll not go with me, I'm not going. Not only did he want God, he couldn't go without God. And you can't go without God. There's nothing we can do effective in this life without God Almighty moving in our life, his presence in our life. God wants to be with you. We want to see his glory in all things and give him praise for what he has done for us. I thought about this. In heaven, it will be the presence of God that we see. I see a heavenly presence in the tabernacle, which is Jesus Christ. I see a heavenly land filled with the presence of God. I see a heavenly presence in the person of Jesus Christ, and I see an eternal glory as we bask in his presence. I feel so honored this day as I reflect on Moses, who was such a wonderful man. They said he was the most humble man on earth, and his love and compassion and his willingness to serve God and to lead this people. But when I consider Moses, I consider ourselves that we are blessed beyond the experience of Moses. Moses only wanted to see the back parts of God. Do you know that I'm going to behold him face to face? In eternity, I behold God, and in the person of Jesus Christ, I see God. God wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. Moses said, "You've not told me now who is going to go up with me." The only one that God wanted, that Moses wanted to hear that was going to go with him was God himself. That's the only one he wanted to hear. But listen, he said, "I want to know the identity of the one that will go with me. I want to know the identity of that one that will lead us." But I want to tell you this day the identity of the one that goes with us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The presence of God goes with the born-again believer in the person of Jesus Christ. His presence is with you. What do you count that? Something precious, something wonderful, something beyond comparison is the presence of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, the Bible said, and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, and his presence is in our lives, in my life. The Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I shall look upon him, not his hinder parts, his hinder parts, but I shall see him face to face. I will behold my Lord and Savior." Now it may seem like some vague dream or some incomprehensible thought, but when you behold the face of Jesus Christ, John in the Isle of Patmos fell on his face in the presence of Christ Almighty. And that was just for a time. Imagine that we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, and he will shower floods of blessing upon us, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. That is the God that we serve. The Bible says that Moses set the tabernacle outside, without the camp. And there he went out and he communed with God, lest God would consume them. Do you know what the Bible tells me? I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God." We will not have to go outside of the camp. You don't have to go outside of the camp now, because Christ is in you. His presence is in you. It's what we should count the most blessed, important, valuable thing that Christ has done for us, that he has united himself with us. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple in it. There'll be no more going outside the camp. We are with Christ, and his tabernacle is with us, and we are the temple of the living God, and we will fellowship with him forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, Lord. Matthew 28 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ has promised to be with us forever and ever. And I have thought about this in my heart. In Hebrews, it tells, I will never leave nor forsake you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Some people have not delved into the truth of the presence of Christ in their life. Some people are willing to move through this life without meditating on Christ. But again, I reiterate that unless Christ goes with you, unless the presence of God goes with you, it is senseless for you to go anywhere. They labor in vain that labor without God. The watchman watcheth in vain unless God is watching with him. You have to have the presence of Christ with you. I see an eternal presence that he has promised me, and I will not let that slide by me. I'm going to bask in the presence of my Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, it also says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. For we look not for a city which hath foundations. We look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But ye are come into Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you realize that there is a place prepared for us? Jesus said, as he comforted, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God is preparing a place to fellowship with us forever and forever. And we glorify God in that. We think about the glory of Christ. He said, Father, I return unto you that I might share again in the glory I had with you before the world was established. And that glory of God, he will share with no one else. Jesus is God Almighty. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Do you realize that the glory that Christ has, we will behold that glory forever, and the glory that we will participate in is being able to glorify Christ forever and ever. We will glorify him, and our hearts will leap up because of the joy of glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege, what an honor, what a glory to glorify my Savior, Christ Almighty. That is glory for us. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. I've said this many times, and it's always touched me as I've meditated upon the truth of this, that I only want to be in the heaven where Jesus is. I only want to go to the heaven that Christ abides in. I only want to live in that place where Jesus is. As I said, John fell on his face when he saw Christ. And Revelation 22:4 said, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." I am in Christ, and forever his name is written on me. Forever, more than that, his presence is in me. I in him, and he in me, the hope of glory. I thank God for that truth. As you walk through this life, and until that time when we are with him in eternity, he has promised to be with me in this life also. And I have found in his presence is peace. Not only because I've meditated upon him, but because he lives in me. He has brought me the peace that passeth all understanding. And when the world will turn against you or on you, know that Christ brings a peace which can never be taken away. There used to be a song, or still is, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand." Do you realize that Christ will protect you through all things? Whatever you're facing, Christ is facing it with you. He loves you. We have his presence. There is peace in his presence. In his presence, you've sought for miracles at times. You sought to see God's hand move. I thought of the appearances of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. And one has always specifically touched me when he met the men at the Sea of Tiberias. And they're out fishing, and they had caught nothing all night. And Jesus walks up and he yells out, "Have you caught anything?" And they say, "No." He said, "Throw over on the right-hand side of the boat, and there you'll have a draught." And they did. And there were so many fish in it that they couldn't contain them all. And I love what John said to Peter. He said, "It's the Lord." And Peter forsook all and leaped out and ran to swim, or however he got to be with Christ. And he got to be with the Lord. And he came dragging up the net, 153 fishes in it, and it was not broken, the Bible says. And he sat down and they saw that miracle. And then a more, even more beautiful thing is Peter was reestablished as a friend of God, as a disciple, as an apostle, as Christ had him called him to feed the sheep and to feed the lambs. What a beautiful picture. If you're looking for a miracle in your life, only appeal to God as you first appeal to have his presence in your midst. In the midst of anything that you're praying for, the presence of God must be there. That will be the only way you ever see a great miracle in your life, because Christ performs it. He is the miracle worker. His presence is what is needed. His presence brings joy in life. There would be no joy in this life if it wasn't for the presence of Christ in the life of a Christian. The world is so strangely dim, and the world only brings us tribulation and difficulty. But the joy of Christ is our strength. It is the presence of Christ that brings the joy of life to us, and we give God glory for his presence. It shows us the assurance of his love. How could I know that God loves me unless his presence is with me? That is why Moses wanted to see his glory. And we have seen the glory of Christ because the witness of the Spirit is within us. That is what we have. The knowledge that he is with us in all the trials of my life makes life bearable. It's Christ in us that gives the spice of joy to everything that we have, family, friends, activities, work, it all comes because we are living in Christ. I truly don't see how those that don't know the Lord make it through this life with any kind of happiness whatsoever. There was again an old song, Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know. It's Jesus that brings you the joy of life. And you have that. You have that already. You need to bask in it and live in that beauty of what Christ has said. I will never leave nor forsake you. Moses was craving the presence of God. We crave the presence of God. We desire to have fellowship with him. It is only through that fellowship that you will ever see the potential that God has prepared for you worked out in your life. You have eternal life. God has a plan for you now to give glory to him. You will give glory forever and ever to Jesus Christ in eternity. God wants you to share in giving glory to him now. I encourage you this day, with all you're getting, get the presence of God in your life. The way you do that is to separate yourself from the things of the world, to look to God alone, to practice that presence of his life and his fellowship in you moment by moment, day by day. I said the joy I had this week was to be able to fellowship with my son in a fishing boat, just sitting there talking about life. I can't imagine the joy that God is going to shower upon us when we are eternally with him, fellowshipping with him in heaven. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the mind of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The only way I know it is by the Spirit of God, which testifies that he shall give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Seek the presence of God. Please, for your sake, seek the presence of God. Please. For his sake, he desires it. In Christ's name, amen. Praise God. If the ushers would come forward, we're going to have our